of the lesson in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. Sometimes I ask my brethren to look around just in case you didn't get a bulletin. So, you don't have to follow along, but what it does is just let you know how close I am to finishing.
Well, great encouragement.
The lesson is the six warnings from Jeremiah chapter 6. Six warnings. Sometimes people look at the Old Testament and wonder, why are you getting a lesson from the Old Testament? Well, the New Testament says in Romans 15 verse 4 that whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. So there's something we can learn from these Old Testament stories. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, these things, referring to the Old Testament, happened unto them by way of example. They were written for our admonition. So there's something about those Old Testament stories that we can learn a lesson from. And that's one of them that we look at this morning. We'll look at six warnings from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. I like warnings. I like warnings. They tend to keep me out of trouble if I heed the warning. I don't always do that. You know, I know some approaching some trolley or train tracks and the lights flash and the bell sounds and the arm comes down. And that's warning me, Brian. You can't keep going. You have to come to a stop. So I do. When I'm approaching an intersection, traffic light, you know, from green turns to yellow, that warns me that I need to speed up so I can get through it before it turns red. You know, that's a warning. That's a yellow warning light. You'll speed up. You know, the back of trucks, you know, they back up, now you're that ding, 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 you know, warning, warning. If you look at your pack of cigarettes, if you get out your pack of cigarettes, there's a warning on there. You know, warning, the Surgeon General, you know, has determined that these are hazardous to your health. You know, I remember buying a mattress in Box Spring years ago and it had a tag on it, warning, do not remove, you know, penalty for removing. Well, there was one night, Christine was gone, and I was home alone. I went back, Buck, and I removed that tag from that mattress in Box Springs. I really feel bad about it, but you know, I've already thrown it away, so I can't go get it and put it back up. It's a warning. Don't do that. You'll feel bad. In this lesson, Jeremiah is sent by God to warn his people, warn God's people that it's dangerous to continue in the direction that they're going. So Jeremiah gives warning. And he's done it before in this letter that was one of his purposes as a prophet or as a preacher to the God's people Israel. He said, before you've committed two evils, he said, and you've forsaken God's ways, without number. He did that a lot. And then he says, and you love to have it so. Wow, what an indictment against people. You're not doing or obeying God's way, and you love that way. So Jeremiah's warnings, I think, could be said concerning God's people today in a lot of ways. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. Number one, these warnings in Jeremiah 6, verse 10. Jeremiah says, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? If I'm warning you, you need to listen up. He says, behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Ooh, what bells and whistles need to sound. If your attitude is that I don't have any delight in God's word, whoa, bells and whistles in your heart or mind need to be ringing. I don't enjoy Bible class. Ooh, bells and whistles. That's a warning. Uh-oh. No delight in God's word. That 3, and I didn't put this in your notes. But Jeremiah says, the way of man is not in himself. It's not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. In other words, we can't have it our own way in our approach to God. That's what he said. You can't do it your way, I can't do it mine. If all of us did it our own way, how we'd have as many different ways as that we have the number of people here. Because you and I probably wouldn't even agree on a way to approach God. You say, oh, I'm going to do it this way. I say, oh, no, I don't like that way. No, it's not in man, see, to direct his own steps. So God provided a way. Jeremiah now gives warning people. Get back to God's way. Jesus said that to his audience. I'm thinking, surely people are going to listen to Jesus. In Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus said, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they closed. This is God's Son preaching and ministering to them, and they said, I don't want to hear it or see it. Bells and whistles, warning, warning. Uh-oh. Something's wrong. You do not have delight in God's Word. I hope there's some kind of a tug. Or you feel something's not right. Put a couple of verses in Psalm. I'll keep an eye on the clock for you too. In Psalm 119, verse 129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. God's testimonies are wonderful. Verse 143, thy commandments are my delight. Verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Jeremiah warned them, if you don't have delight in God's Word, something's wrong. That should be a warning. Number two, verse 13. All these are found in Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 13. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Oh. So he warns them. He says concerning these people and even the religious leaders, their obsessive desire, and I put this in your notes, their obsessive desire for material gain led them to obtain it through wrong means. And not only that, but then they would justify it in their own minds that it was okay to fulfill that wrong desire. It's okay for me to do this, that which is wrong. Warning. They've given themselves to covetousness. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus tells a story about a man who wanted to build barns and his life was taken from him. So he gives a warning to his disciples. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. There's more to life than our toys. There's more to life than our stuff. There's eternal life. And that's the difference. So if we are giving ourselves over just for earthly success, bells and whistles. If we don't have time for God, can't involve ourselves in ministry, and if our obsession for earthly treasure and earthly gain and status causes us to gain it through ill-gotten gain, bells and whistles. Bells and whistles. Number three, verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. So these church leaders, oh yeah, you're helping my people out a little bit. You put a little salve on the wounds, prophets and preachers or teachers, church leaders, yeah. You've healed the hurt a little. You're saying, peace, peace. There is no peace. Oh, false prophets. When people are walking the wrong way, but you know the devil makes it easy for them to believe that all is well. You're walking the wrong way, the devil goes, oh, Adam, away. Keep going. Peace to you. That's what they're not. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Because the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers after their own lust. They'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Because this one over here is saying peace. Oh, that's what I want to hear. Oh, but there isn't any. So Jeremiah says, oh, warning, lights, bells, whistles. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. We need to hear what God says. Someone may be calling you and saying, oh, it's peace. But, oh, but there isn't any peace. Be sure that what the message you are receiving is God's word. Study. Study the Bible. Jeremiah warns them. Number 4, verse 15. But they were ashamed when they had committed abomination. Ooh. Ask the question. Were you ashamed when you committed abomination? That's not a good thing. He said, no. Jeremiah answers this question. They were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. See, it doesn't identify everything that they did, but it says, whatever you're doing, it's abomination to God. And you're not trying to hide it. You're not doing anything in secret. You're doing, this abomination is being done openly. Think about today. We live in a permissive society. A lot of ways, a lot of people out there that are not ashamed of their abomination. They just live their wretchedness rather openly. A lot of our so-called stars, especially in the entertainment industry, and even in sports, they take pride in their sin. A lot of the TV talk shows, they host, you know, they flaunt the wretchedness of our society. Oh, you're doing wrong? Come on in. We want to have an interview. We want to put you on television. A lot of programs right now. Oh, they make a lot of immorality come across as okay. I thought about writing down some of the titles, but I thought, no, I didn't want to tempt you. I didn't want to encourage you. Oh, I didn't know that one was on. I can look at that. No, they're just in the programming, in the advertisement. I'm not watching that. But they're going to flaunt it in society. One segment of our society just had a 3-day party at the park last weekend. They had a parade down the city streets. TV news covered it. The lead story, and they gave it minutes and minutes and minutes. Look at the TV ads for personal hygiene. I get embarrassing when I'm there with Christine looking at it. Hey, look over there, Christine. Did you see that? Take that pillow. Quick, cover up. Don't look, Christine. Don't look. Not very much discretion. To be, maybe an old word for many of you, to be discreet. That means you be polite in society. It means you use good manners. If you're discreet, you're considerate of others. Boy, last decade or I don't know how many years, see all these young men running around sagging their pants. In the restaurant. They want to show their paisley underwear. I don't understand that. Sag those pants, and then sometimes it might be in the parking lot and they have to hurry and they have to hold their pants up while they're running across the parking lot. And not only that, but then they have to run with their legs apart so their pants don't drop. I don't understand it. to stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Uh-oh. If they say, we'll not walk therein, Jeremiah warns them, you need to seek out God's word and walk in it. They said, no, we're not going to walk in that. Uh-oh, bells and whistles should sound. Warning. Warning. Probably these people were saying, hey, this is 650 B.C. You know, all those commandments that you're talking about were given 2,500 years ago. We need to bring God's word up to date, 650 B.C. We need to change a few things. Jeremiah's message is probably the same for a lot of us today, a lot of religious people today. Jeremiah says, I want you to ask for the old path, and I want you to walk therein. And when you find the old path and walk therein, you're going to find rest for your souls. But today's leaders say, oh no, Brian, this is a new generation, and you can't convert this new generation with the old truth. Really? Warning. Warning. Lights, bells, and whistles. The arms should come down. Stop. Stop. Today leaders will say, oh, this is the era of modernism. This is the 21st century. Your God is outdated. The Bible needs to catch up with the times. You can change God's word in this generation. Can the next generation change it too? You can change it. Anybody can change it. Jude verse 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. Contend for the faith. Fight for it. Fight for the old path that was once for all delivered to the saints. Jesus said in John 12 verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my words as one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He didn't say, well, you're going to be judged by new paths. No, be judged by old paths. The word of Jesus. I'm going to be judged by a 21st century edition of God's word. An updated version. I'm going to be judged by God's word. Our plea today is to ask for the old path and walk therein. Last one, number 6. There's also, I've set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we'll not hearken. You see that even in life. Parents warn children. Employers warn employees. Coaches warn and teach the athletes. This is the best way, or this is what you need to do. This is the law. These are the requirements. And some people, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes the attitude in society that we have today carries over in the area of religion. You have someone like me stand and teach and preach, or open to read God's word, and there may be some in the audience that say, I'm not going to do that. What Jeremiah was facing. How would you like to be the preacher for his congregation? With all of this response. And look at that. His congregation said, preacher Jeremiah, we don't have any delight in God's word. Jeremiah, we're giving ourselves over to covetousness because we want to accumulate the stuff. Uh-oh. Jeremiah, I know you're saying that, but you know, this guy over here is saying peace. Jeremiah says, oh, but there isn't any peace in what he's saying. Oh, but Jeremiah, we're not ashamed and we're not going to blush over the abomination of our life. Jeremiah, you're asking for the old paths, but his congregation said, we're not going to walk in those. Jeremiah says, I'm a watchman. I came to warn. They said, we're not listening, Jeremiah. I wouldn't want to preach to that congregation. I may try to stay and preach. But it'd sure be hard. I'm looking for a people that want to follow God's word, God's way. And that's the lesson. Six warnings from Jeremiah. Don't let any of those happen to you. That's the lesson. Warning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the New Testament church. Here's the Bible warning. Now Jesus said in John 6, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins. Warning. We need to believe. Jesus said, here's the warning in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall in like manner perish. Oh, we need to repent. Warning. You need to believe that He's the Christ and repent. You need to be baptized. For He left in his commission of the apostles in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You tell all the creation that. Warning. We need to do that. So that's the invitation to extend. It's a biblical warning. It's not one that I made up. So you need to hear the word of God and believe it. Repent of sins. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. Let's stand together.